May it please the court, my name is David Brougham with the firm of Hall & Evans. I am here to represent the city of Lamar in this matter. And having just listened to a very interesting argument, I would, at the risk of being oversimplistic, suggest that this case is much more straightforward in terms of the involved issues. And it's been a while since I've been here. I've been reading the court's admonitions. It is usually best to focus on the salient legal issues, and I'm going to try to do that, and that may shortcut our afternoon to a certain extent.
Mr. Brougham, if you would speak up, your co-counsel would be able to hear you a little better, your colleague.
Thank you, Your Honor. The relevant facts that are involved in this litigation down in Lamar are, I believe, undisputed and very straightforward, and I'm quoting from the order that I've appealed here about how the plaintiff's damages occurred. And the court specifically stated that these damages arise from injuries suffered when the city's sewer system became surcharged as a result of a Fort Bend Ditch Company's canal breaching or failing and allowing ditch water to flow into the city's primary sewer system at that location. So that this, we contend, totally unforeseen event caused the city's sewer system to become overloaded with water, plug up, causing the lateral lines of the plants to back up. And that is undisputed. And I would also submit that it is similarly undisputed that the plaintiffs presented no evidence of any type that their injuries resulted from anything related to the maintenance of the Lamar City sanitation system.
Mr. Brougham, didn't the plaintiffs present an affidavit from their expert that offered alternative possibilities? And it seems that what it said was there was a stoppage in the sewer system, and that perhaps the sewer system had overflowed and caused the ditch bank to collapse.
That's correct. And that directly contradicted not only the complaint, the allegations of the complaint, but the court's finding. That affidavit came from a retired plumber who opined that, in my view, unbelievably, and this was the subject of a motion to strike his affidavit, which the trial court never ruled on, that downstream from the point where this manhole got surcharged with irrigation water, a stoppage had occurred in the city's sanitation main, causing the main to back up and back up water two or three blocks roughly to this manhole cover, causing the manhole to fill up, the manhole to overflow, and then that overflowing manhole causing the ditch bank to collapse some 15 feet away. It was just preposterous.
It's preposterous, but I guess the question is, if that is evidence in the case, if we go forward to trial, and if that is evidence in the case, is that related to, is that an allegation of operation and maintenance of a sanitation facility?
It was just an opinion on the cause, Your Honor, of how this backup occurred, which was directly contradictory to the allegations of the plaintiff's complaint. It said nothing about improper maintenance or anything which the city did wrong in terms of not cleaning these lines periodically or knowing they had tree roots in the lines, which I typically see. I do a lot of these sewer cases, unfortunately.
Didn't the allegation include an allegation that said the city breached its duty to maintain its facility and to keep it in good order and repair?
A legal allegation, yes, Your Honor. And that duty I don't dispute. But the point is, and back to what I just said.
You say that's an allegation of law rather than an allegation of fact?
The city had a duty and breached that duty. That's all that he said.
Well, I mean, he's saying they breached the duty. So, I mean, that's a factual allegation of a breach.
It's a factual allegation, but I just said evidence was not presented as to anything the city did or did not do with respect to the maintenance of this system.
So then that brings us to the question of what's the standard of review on this? I mean, if you're talking about summary judgment, I guess they need to come forward with evidence. But if we're talking about immunity, do they have to come forward with evidence, or do they?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me the extent to which they have to do that.
Okay, I don't mean to interrupt you. But yes, I'll come back to that in just a second, because that, I think, is the salient point here. I don't dispute that any public entity has a duty to maintain its sanitation system. I mean, that's a question of law. That's an issue of law. Not fact, I would submit, Your Honor. But in this case, no evidence was presented that the city did or didn't do anything in terms of maintaining these sewer lines that caused the system to back up. What caused the system to back up was the undisputed finding, not only of the allegations of the complaint, but the trial court's finding that it was this collapsing bank that caused this excessive amount of water to get into the sanitation system. And what Lamar could have, I mean, the city couldn't have done anything about this. Like, as I put in my brief, an earthquake happening, causing the bank to rupture, and it filled the sewer system up with water. It had nothing to do with maintaining the sewer system.
Mr. Baum, I have a fair amount of difficulty with your argument, and so let me lay it out for you so that you can address it. Your entire argument is premised, as I read it, it's premised on it is fact that the bank of the ditch collapsed first, and it is fact that the water then flowed into the sewer system, and therefore the city has immunity because the causation did not relate to operation and maintenance. Is that your argument?
No.
Okay.
Here's my argument. Under the CGIA, it's fundamental, section 106.1, that Lamar is immune from any claim in tort, except for certain enumerated exceptions in 106. And one of those exceptions is the operation and maintenance of a public sanitation facility. In this case, I submit, and I think the record is clear, that all the plaintiffs did was allege that there was some type of improper maintenance. They didn't even allege what the improper maintenance was, nor did they present any evidence on the alleged improper maintenance.
Well, how could they do it at this stage when they've not even been allowed to take substantial discovery?
Well, they were allowed to take substantial discovery.
Pardon me?
They just didn't do it.
So there was discovery that was allowed before what would otherwise have been a Trinity hearing?
It would have been, but there was no necessity, in my view, for a Trinity hearing. And
Let me interrupt you again, because again, here's where I'm having the difficulty. If under the statute it is alleged that there was damage caused by the operation and maintenance, then immunity is waived. Now, that doesn't mean that there's liability, but immunity is waived. But what I'm hearing your argument say is they must also prove their case in order to survive your immunity challenge.
I'm not saying that, John. I am saying that they must offer some evidence to support their contention that this backup occurred because of improper maintenance in the city's sewer system.
Wouldn't that be a summary judgment, though? I mean, it just seems to me what you're arguing there is summary judgment.
I do not believe so, Your Honor, because I concurrently did argue summary judgment. But that is, you know, is not an interlocutory appealable issue. But it is fundamental, I believe, in our governmental immunity world here in Colorado, which is all I live in, frankly, that you cannot, as a plaintiff, simply allege a waiver of immunity. You have to put some facts on the table to do that. And let me just get to my point here, since you, Judge Carpelli, you've expressed some skepticism about my argument. One of the cases that is cited by plaintiffs in their brief is Medina versus State. And without getting to it, it's 35 P3rd 443. And I'd forgotten that Justice Rice wrote this CGIA 101 component of that decision. It's about 3 pages long. And basically, the decision says, here's what we do when we have a governmental immunity issue. It's a jurisdictional issue. And the salient, to quote the court's admonitions here, the salient portion of Medina is as follows. In Medina, a rock had been hit a bus on the road up by Blackhawk. All right, and the plaintiff's allegations were that there had been negligent maintenance of that road. And Justice Wright said as follows, and I'm quoting from Medina at pages 452 and 449. When there's a motion to dismiss under the Governmental Immunity Act, when a court, and I'm quoting, quote, when a court reviews a complaint under a factual attack, which I have here, the allegations have no presumptive truthfulness, and the court must weigh the evidence presented, unquote. Further, she went on then to rule, we reverse the Court of Appeals' conclusion that, as a matter of law, the complaint was sufficient to survive the state's motion to dismiss merely because they allege that the state negligently failed to maintain the highway. That's my whole point. That's all that happened here, Your Honor. I would respectfully submit there was nothing done about maintenance in this trial court other than allege that somehow some improper maintenance caused this backup. The fact that the ditch bank ruptured and surcharged the sewer system has nothing to do with maintaining the city's sewer system.
But can we accept that as fact, that it was, as you say, that the bank ruptured first?
The court found that. The trial court found that, Your Honor.
That the bank ruptured first?
Yes, absolutely. That's in the order I read to you. These damages arose from the rupture of the bank. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And once again, nothing Lamar did or did not do in terms of maintaining this. This is my argument. Had anything to do with these injuries resulting from the maintenance of this sanitation system. That sanitation system, maintenance, and this is another salient point, to once again use the court's admonitions. Maintenance means keeping a facility in the same condition it was constructed. That facility, that sanitation facility, and that's taken from Swakowski and 2410-103, definitions in the CGIA. That sanitation system was in exactly the same condition when that bank ruptured than it was when it was built 60 years ago. There was nothing about maintenance that the language of Section 106.1 says Lamar is immune from any suit and tort except for injuries resulting from. And there's a nexus between the two, as Justice Rice said, you can't just allege it. There's no presumption of truth as to an allegation. And I really think that is the critical point here, and I would like to save my last 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Certainly. Thank you. Mr. Brown.
May it please the court.
Mr. McLaughlin?
George McLaughlin, number 1979, for the plaintiff appellees. There's seven plaintiffs all joined in this action. I'll identify them as Kurtz et al. I disagree with Mr. Brougham on several issues, and I'll try and address them in the order I recall him bringing them out. I think, Your Honor, Mr. Caparelli, you would ask a couple of questions, Justice Caparelli, concerning what we alleged in paragraphs 9, 10, 11 on the operation and maintenance claim. We had originally claimed a dangerous condition because the manhole that's affecting this lawsuit was located about 9 feet from an irrigation ditch, Fort Bend Ditch Company, that had been there about 100 years, the irrigation ditch. The manhole was built by the city of Lamar in the 50s. Mr. Culberson, quote, the retired plumber, was specifically had information concerning the building of manholes throughout the city of Lamar previously. And he went to the Korean War, and that's when he left that operation. What we tried to do, and if you'll recall, the city or the court, district court, very early, said there should be no spoliation of evidence. Sometime prior to the plaintiffs being able to inspect the manhole and the area in which the Fort Bent ditch collapsed, the epoxy adhesive covered the whole inside of the manhole, and it was plaintiffs were unable to determine how, quote, that particular manhole was constructed. So before we had a hearing, I personally asked for a Trinity hearing and for conditions of discovery. We appeared at the date of the hearing, and both Mr. Brougham and Mr. Stearman, attorney for Fort Bent, objected, and the court said he would listen to argument, but he was already, he was ready to rule. So I didn't make an offer of proof. I didn't do anything. We didn't object to the court's finding, because the court's findings basically were in favor of the plaintiffs. We had filed on two separate matters, really, a dangerous condition of locating the manhole there, an irrigation ditch, and the operation and maintenance theories. The court overruled my argument on the question of a dangerous condition, but I believe from the cases we cited, and the court found that those are two separate claims, although they're interrelated, they can be interrelated. And there's a number of cases cited that determine whether or not a dangerous condition exists. A lot of them are automobile cases.
But Attorney McLaughlin, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What specifically was the improper maintenance that was alleged in the complaint, specifically?
Well, it was set forth in the deposition of Mr. Culbertson. Mr. Brougham only had about 6 or 7 pages of that deposition set forth in this appeal. But even if you look at the language in the deposition, the reason for Mr. Brougham wanting it, the last question asked of Mr. Culbertson is, did he know what caused the problem? Well, he had to say no, and if permitted to testify, he testified because the epoxy was there. And that's unknown to us as whether that's a matter of another design or whether it was put in there for maintenance and repair.
Mr. Brougham's argument, if I understood him correctly, was the sewage system was exactly the same 60 years later as it was when it was built.
Well, there are, but you have to repair, maintain the sewer system. Has to be in the condition it was as originally constructed.
And that's why my question, that's why I'm trying to narrow in, what specifically was the improper maintenance?
Well, these have come in three sections. They're big concrete matters that are connected three together. And to get them in there, because they weigh so heavy, there are holes in each one of the potters that make up that hill. And they cover that by cement. This is what the city was apparently doing it when it repaired it. But those holes, also they put some kind of a rope deal around each section to keep them enclosed. That's what we wanted to offer at the hearing under the Trinity matter, to add that more. Mr. Culbertson had testified to Mr. Brougham about those matters in his deposition, but that whole deposition was not put in the to the trial court. When I filed a motion to sanction or get some kind of relief from the trial court, I filed a motion of violation of evidence in opposition to the rest provided by the court's order. I received something from Mr. Brougham that described the manhole as they existed before the epoxy was put in there. Mr. Culbertson was there to testify as to those matters, and you can even look at part of that deposition where he's talking about the failure to cover up those, I call them the big holes for delivery of the manholes. That's why, because we wanted to have a hearing. Now, we didn't object to the court's findings, but I submit Medina, the Medina case versus state was a case where the appellate courts say we don't have enough evidence here for one reason, because the trial court didn't do something. And you send it back, remand it back to the trial court to make those specific findings. Because the court says, and the court says in its order basically, that he wants to have evidence at the trial. The original motion for summary judgment was under Rule 56. And the courts have generally held, and there's a number of them in the Trinity case and Finney versus the Finney case, I call it, all say in effect that Rule 56 is not proper when we're trying to determine whether or not the trial court has sufficient evidence to see whether immunity has been waived. And there's no question here under 106E and so forth that a sanitation district can be waived under operation and maintenance.
Mr. McLaughlin, would you tell me, in your view, what was the trial court's, what was the basis or the reasoning that the trial court employed in concluding that immunity had been waived here? What was the reason for the waiver?
I think, as honest as I can be,
Mr. McLaughlin, if you'll stay at the microphone, so yes, here you go.
I can't find the specific language. That's why I wanted the Trinity hearing. And I'm saying that maybe this case should be remanded back for the court to make those kind of findings. The Powell case and the Hobbs case were all remanded back, not only because a storm drain was then declared part of a sanitation system, and by statute that was eliminated. Irrigation ditches are eliminated, and so there's a question there as to who had the responsibility the city or Fort Bend Ditch. And I might advise your honors that since this matter's been filed up on appeal, Fort Bend and the plaintiff appellees have settled. So the only question now would be whether under the facts of the case, whether the city is liable. Because I understand and I think it's set forth clearly. The city of Lamar had a duty to maintain, operate, and maintain the thing in the same general condition as existed earlier. Fort Bend has a statutory duty to maintain its ditch banks. Judge Tolman cited the Middle Camp area that as a matter of policy, the state of Colorado permits irrigation ditches to seep. And that's a matter of law, and that was in the USA case, Hoy versus the state. And the federal district court had asked an opinion as to whether or not liability attaches when, at what point in time. And that's case is also, and other cases are also good to rebut Mr. Brown's claim that the six-year statute of limitations should have been in effect. And on the ditch bank cases, it's like a number of other private cases that say it's when you first discover the physical effects of the cause of the bank to flow over or whatever. Why, that's it. So all I'm trying to say is that we tried to plead what was required. I think we pled dangerous condition, which the trial court says that's out. But the cases say that you could divide those two claims up. One, dangerous condition is not necessarily dependent upon repair and maintain. And repair and maintain doesn't necessarily have to have a dangerous condition to exist. So I think in that respect, Judge Tolman was correct. And the basic cases he cited would generally uphold him, I think, on everything he said. But as to the evidentiary matters, there wasn't very much. The statements of the engineer, a 30-page resume. And if you look at the resume he gave, was basically that he lectured about storm sewers. That's what his whole resume is about. And it had nothing to do with basically the operation and maintenance of a sewer system. Now, he may be qualified. I don't want to belittle him at all. But I do object to Mr. Brooms always saying how shallow or something this plumber who's now 78 years of age or something like that.
Chief Counsel, thank you. Your argument is concluded.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Your Honor. Very briefly, I do want to get back to Judge Carpenter's question to me. Can this court accept as a finding of fact the cause that the court in Lamar found? Yes, the court found that a ditch bank collapsed, filled the thing full of water. The complaint says that. The elephant in this room, in part, is that the plaintiffs have the burden of proof to establish a waiver. And that burden goes beyond, in Justice Rice's term, just alleging it. You have to have evidence.
Counsel, would you address this, your colleague's assertion here that you requested a Trinity hearing, but that you objected to that, and that effectively precluded the introduction of evidence?
I don't recall. What happened was the judge set the matter for hearing, for argument, and we appeared at the hearing in Lamar, and Mr. Culbertson was there. And the court said, do you want to hear from Mr. Culbertson today? And we said, well, no, we're here for argument. We weren't there for an evidentiary hearing. There was no scheduling of a Trinity hearing. But Judge Roman's question is so salient and so to the point. What did the city not do in maintenance? Now, you may have heard an answer, but I didn't. Because I think Mr. McLaughlin just conceded that sanitation manhole was in the same condition it was when that bank ruptured. And there was no, and we repaired it afterwards. We brought in trucks and filled the bank. But there was no, I mean, what improper maintenance? You didn't get an answer because there is none. And this matter should not be remanded because it's undisputed that, at least the plaintiffs haven't said anything contrary, that sanitation system was in the same condition when that ditch bank ruptured that it was 55 years ago.
Mr. Brougham, is there any case you can point me to in which a plaintiff has alleged explicitly an exception, that it was admitted that, so here, I'll tell you how I see it here and then what I'm looking for. As I read the CJIA, immunity is waived for injuries resulting from operation and maintenance.
Negligent operation and maintenance. Not just, I mean, we operate and maintain it, okay. You have to do something wrong. All right.
Allegations, actions and action alleging negligence. And so here we have a very specific waiver, an action alleging damages from operation maintenance. It's undisputed.
It's not alleged in the complaint.
Excuse me. Let me finish. It is not disputed that the city operates and maintains this sewer system.
Right.
Can you point me to any case in which a plaintiff has alleged specifically that the governmental entity is engaged in an activity? That activity is explicitly waived, immunity for that activity is explicitly waived, and the court has said, yes, but you've produced no evidence to demonstrate that you actually have negligence.
That's what Medina says.
Okay.
When a court reviews a complaint under a factual attack such as this, the allegations have no presumptive truthfulness. And as a matter of law, the amended complaints did not survive a motion to dismiss merely because they allege improper maintenance, and that's all this complaint says, Your Honor. It doesn't refer to any waiver of immunity under Section 106.1F. It just says Fort Bent Ditch and Lamar were negligent in maintaining their respective facilities. No allegation of 106.1 operation and maintenance. The only allegation of a CGIA waiver was the dangerous condition, which the trial court rejected.
So your analogy to Medina would be, there was a road, a rock fell on the road. There was no allegation that the road was not maintained.
Yes, absolutely. In Medina, I think the court needs to read Medina respectfully. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The court thanks both counsel for their arguments. This case will be deemed submitted and a written opinion will issue in due course.